One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Feather Top End of Stevenson.
From Mech Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Rab Florence, and the room with me is producer John. How you doing, my man?
I'm very well, thank you, Rab. Missed you last week. It was just me and Grado. It's like tag one in, tag one out. It's like hot tag tags one all out. The way.
Grado is day and 2 doors down. Busy at the coal face. He's nearly done.
It's gone on forever. Like, he's been recording this for what seems like it's like Lawrence of Arabia, I'm expecting out of this series of 2 doors down, because it's been an epic recording schedule for him.
Epic. A very, very long shoot. That's because they're getting all that BBC network money, mate. They're loaded, do you know what I mean?
Elaine C. Smith will be taking most of it away.
Nah, probably, no doubt.
Do you know he was invited to a party at Elaine C. Smith's and he didn't go?
Why is that?
I don't know. It was a rap party at Elaine C.
Swingers party.
Was that?
Was that a swingers party?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. Norton's got his keys in. There's Watson got his keys in.
Yep.
Apparently, you missed it last week. We were talking about Norton. Apparently, he's desperate to come to one of Grado's wrestling shows.
Oh, aye?
Aye.
Well, he's known Grado for ages now, and he's not been to one of them, so do you think it's maybe just all talk?
No, apparently, Grado, this was the story Grado told last week. He went in after doing Shug's House. And a couple of the crew had went along to see Grado, and Grado had got on guesty and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he went 2 doors down, and there was Norton with his hands folded. Where is my invite?
Didn't get it.
So he was quite disappointed. So, you know, maybe Norton could, you know, potentially pop up. Maybe he's going to Cardiff. Maybe he's on his way down to Cardiff to see the great
man. You never know. He may be involved in that main event, mate. You never know. And when are you leaving for Cardiff, John?
I'm not going. I'm about 200 miles away. I'm going to Shrewsbury to see my mate's baby this weekend. And I actually went, oh, how far away is Shrewsbury?
Who's your mate's baby fighting?
Baby on baby wrestling matches. That could be a new thing. Toddler wrestling matches. That should be a thing. But no, I suddenly looked and went, oh, I'm in Shrewsbury. It's Cardiff that far away, but it's 200 miles. But I think that'd be a bad look, wouldn't it?
Because they're still trying to shift tickets, aren't they?
Apparently so. One of the listeners messaged us on the Wrestling Daft Twitter, and they seem to be throwing away cut-price tickets. And I bet everyone that's paid full whack those ridiculous prices that were going is getting it. But Twicket Sport have got tickets on there, 66% below face value.
Wow.
So, thank you very much to Gavin who sent us through that.
I know there was quite a lot of people, I saw quite a lot of people on UK Fan Forum who had bought tickets early doors and paid a certain price, were now buying better tickets cheaper and trying to get refunds for the, you know.
It's a big arena to fill. It's a strong card though.
How many is it?
Oh God, it must be. So it's Cardiff, it's the Millennium Arena, isn't it? So it's like 60 odd thousand, isn't it?
Wow. So it's how many are in Falkirk's? Would you still call it a stadium? Would you still say stadium?
I would still say stadium, yeah. It's about 8,000 capacity, I think. The
Falkirk's. What, 80,000 did you say?
8,000 out 8,000.
800,000?
8,000.
Or 8,000?
Yeah, I know we've only got 3 stands, you know, and I know.
Has it ever been full?
Aye, when Celtic and Rangers play, obviously, everyone comes.
All right, okay. Is it ever full when Falkirk are playing? Who do Falkirk play normally anyway? Is it like professional teams?
Yeah, professional teams. Semi-professional teams in our case now that we're down in League One, you know, right. Sometimes that, but sometimes, you know.
I see what the punters are saying, John. Right, so there's more chat about this booking Mr. Blobby. Has Grado looked into this? Is he actually going to book him?
He's looking into it. We had correspondence on it last night. Last week, basically, Grado just basically handed over the book to the listeners and said, can someone get Blobby sorted for me? Barry Killerby, as far as we did into our research last week, appears to still be the main man behind Blobby.
What age would he be now?
He must be a fair age. So I think he's maybe, and like the Corbetts, like Sooty and Sweep, handed it down the generations, like Matthew Corbett handed it on to his son. So perhaps Barry has handed it on to the younger Killerby.
So you don't think it's Barry that's in the suit anymore, no?
I don't think so. I think he's a fair age now, Rab. I can't imagine Blobby in about.
He's definitely no bumping anyway.
No, he's not going to take he's not going to take a bump at that age. He's like honky tonk man, isn't he? But
yeah, well, Beppe got in touch. He's suggesting that Grado reenacts the whole Ministry of Darkness angle for 99 with Grado playing the part of Stone Cold. Jester as Undertaker, Blobby as Stephanie, about to be crucified, putting the cross in Edmonds as a concerned father begging Grado to help his boy and save him for the evil heel. Noel Edmonds finally persuades Grado to help just as Blobby is about to be sacrificed to the dark side. That you could ever afford Noel Edmonds, could you?
I see. Edmonds must be minted. Or did he lose it all? Did he go through a bumpy patch when he invests in the Crinkly Bottom theme park? It all went.
No, I think he's still loaded.
Is Deal or No Deal?
Because you've got to remember, after Crinkly Bottom and all that, it was a Deal or No Deal. That was a Deal or No Deal era.
Aye, that's true.
You know what I mean? There was a Crinkly Bottom era, which is almost like the Attitude era, and then the Deal or No Deal era was Ruthless Aggression.
That's right. And they had a bit of a lull in between. It was like 90s WWF in the kind of middle of between House Party and Deal or No Deal. Because he went away for a while. Edmonds was kind of not spotted after the whole Crinkly Bottom theme part debacle.
Do you not think that the banker and Deal or No Deal, that the WWE kind of ripped that off with a kind of... The secret fucking GM thing.
Anonymous
general manager.
They did, didn't they? It's like, oh, you know, Michael Cole, they should have get you could have you could have had Edmonds on.
Yeah, there you go. Everything's starting to fucking converge in on each other. It's like Smiley Face go in touch and says Blobby coming out of a box like the bold chainsaw Charlie. Gimmick the box with Velcro and plastic chainsaw to cover the insurance on the suit. Paul Bearer returns for the dead to tell Undertaker and Kane that their third brother is alive and the demon Blobby is revealed. I quite like that. James says, how about when you do the live show, Chris Toll is there doing a wee interview in that. When Mr. Blobby runs in, maybe in the 80 quid Snyder outfit, he starts doing his thing and ends up bumping into Toll. They start scrapping. Toll knocks Mr. Blobby's mask off, and underneath it's producer John, a bit of colour on his forehead, and then he starts beating Toll up, shouting, fuck your podcast. Ends up getting dragged away by Robbie the Robot and the guy that used to see in the town that used moulds to make sand models of the sleeping dogs. Now I'm going to tell you something about these sand models, these sleeping dogs. You don't use moulds to make them. Do you know how they work, these sand models, John?
I can't remember this guy. Where was he based, on Buchanan Street or Sauchiel Street or Argyle Street?
You see them everywhere, right? But there was definitely a guy in the town, and it would be like a golden retriever made out of sand that would be lying there, right? And he'd be kind of brushing it and tweaking on that. But what that actually is just a plastic golden retriever that's lying there that has kind of sand sprinkled over the top of it.
No, it's no.
It's fake. It's a work.
That you try to tell me that's a work?
It's a total work, mate. It's a total work. These things are a work. All the days they get down there, they put the plastic one out, right, that already has a kind of sandy look to it, and then they pour sand over the top of it, and then it just looks like they've made it, but it's a work. It's a total bump.
That's blown my mind.
After the chat about Benson Phillips getting involved, Brian says Benson Phillips has worked a match at Tidal with Martina, getting booked for Family Bash. He does a lot of interesting things, that boy. And Paul pointed us in the direction of the rise and fall of Mr. Saturday Night and Noel Edmonds on YouTube. Now, that was on maybe Channel 5 or
Channel
something.
Channel 5, it's made it to YouTube now, aye.
He says, right up your street, lads, Chapter 4 gets in, right in about Blobby. Someone was probably looking at their DVD shelf coming up with the title, an old Rise and Fall ECW title, of course, they're referring to there. Thanks to everybody who flagged up Luigi Primo. Who's Luigi Primo?
Now, this is, I don't know if you've seen, we've got, I'm going to show you this, Rab. JT's first thing. He says, Luigi Primo might just be his favourite next indie wrestler. Pizza and wrestling, what's not to like? So this guy has got a gimmick. I don't know what you're going to think about this gimmick.
Oh my gosh, you are awesome. This is amazing. Luigi Primo here with me, RCW fan. So Luigi, how do you feel about the show?
I feel a mixed. On one hand, I had defeated my former tag team partner, Drew Dredd, decisively with a pizza cutter, slamming his head into the mat. I feel bad that this is essentially the end of our friendship, but I guess it had already been a loss. I guess I thought maybe I could bring him back to a good pizza through a combat. But if I can't have a friend, at least I can have a match I win. Because I'm a Luigi Primo, and I make the best of pizza. Every day! Anytime in the USA. And that's I'm always saying that.
That's awesome. No, I think it's perfect. Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming out. And we'll see you on July 3rd, everyone.
Do you want to see him work?
I like him. Can he work?
Do you want to see him work?
I want to see him work, guy. I liked how he was doing the Italian just kind of in random places.
Right, hold on.
Let's see if this boy can walk. Says me a fucking. This was the worst, isn't it, when guys like me say, "Can he walk?" Can he walk? But fucking shut up, Rob. Can he walk?
Ready?
It's so hard to
accept. Are you
ready? Okay. He's actually spinning a pizza here while he's. That's actually fucking quite impressive, by the way, the fact he's going in about this pizza.
Isn't it?
He's still flinging about that pizza.
Yeah!
No problem, pizza.
No problem.
Yes, man, I've got all the time in the world for a spider here. I like this guy.
Is Luigi Primo our new favourite wrestler?
I wouldn't say he's my new favourite wrestler, but I would say I would happily watch him versus Orange Cassidy any fucking day of the week.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
Apparently you did a match with the Underbaker and there was promos cut between the Underbaker, who I'm presuming has some sort of bakery gimmick, versus Luigi Primo.
Unbelievable. Gavin says, here's one for you. Wrestling moves as goal celebrations. This is a belter.
Lilian Hernandez, y que bien definió sobre la salida de Volpi Moy.
Sí, así es, ahí está el festejo. ¿Será por esto que lo amonestaron? No creo.
Beautiful, man, that's a beautiful celebration. What would you call that?
I think you need Excalibur to tell us what exactly that move is, because I have no idea. It's a kind of head scissors into a turn into a forward roll.
It almost looks as if it's going to be like a Hurricane Rana at the start or something, and then it's, you know, I don't know what's going on with it.
I'm assuming it's Mexican football.
Do you see these fucking football players? Mm-hmm. Right, see, in all seriousness, these fucking football players need to decide whether they want to be football players or fucking wrestlers. Right? Enough of this fucking carry on. Enough of it. Show a bit of fucking respect. There's no wrestlers making the money that these fucking pampered football players are making. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They should have a stay in your fucking lane, boys, is what I say. Right? Hi, boys and John. The steam train is writing back after winning listener of the week, but this time for another email address. The steam train's back, John.
Yeah, I remember.
I couldn't be fucked with that one anymore. You know how it is. Haha. In all seriousness, thanks for giving me wrestling daft listener of the week and thinking about my dad. He was a great guy when he was around. In his final days, we used to always watch Straight Out of Dudleyville on DVD. The Dudley boys are my bestest tag team because they fought every best tag team about. My wee dad used to say to me and my wee bro that teamwork makes the dream work. The Dudley boys obviously heard something similar for their old man, because they definitely made the dream work. But enough about the two brothers. I'm emailing in again to talk about my brother. My wee bro, Don, has gotten into the podcast since you guys gave me that award. He's no into wrestling that much, but he loves the Go Radio Breakfast Show. Well, Nadie's perfect. And he's right into food, so he loves when you guys talk about Scran. Me and my wee bro have something to talk about now in the podcast after I forgave him. So thanks, boys. All the best. The Steam Train, a.k.a. Davey Butler. Always good to hear for the Steam Train, John.
Isn't that beautiful, though? Isn't that just why we do this? This podcast, we've brought two brothers together. You know, they now have something to talk about. Oh, did you hear, you know, the booking of Mr. Blobby last week? Did you, what about this Luigi Primo guy? Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing.
It's no way I'd do it for the money. Jimbo says, bit long-winded, but here goes. I was a couple of episodes behind because I was on holiday. As I said before, I saved my wrestling daft fix for driving to Aberdeen on a Monday and back came on a Friday. A few points, slight bury for John the producer. He said the spot during Ric Flair's match with Andrade having to put the brass knucks on Flair was embarrassing. I disagree. I think it was showmanship of the highest order. He was pretending to not get them on because then he just suddenly snapped into pro mode and put them on in one go. He was just selling the angle magnificently. Go back and watch. Also, Rab's read a few of my correspondence over the last couple of years, but John always forgets to put them in paragraphs for him to read out. So it just seems like a big stream of Glaswegian scheme wrestling consciousness. Actually, a good name for a wee promotion at GSW. Putting on myself for being on holiday with my partner in Paris for my 40th. And the news about Vince's retirement coming out, I'd basically just pipe up every few hours with the now infamous in our house anyway. I can't believe Vince McMahon's retired. Walking down the banks of the Seine at dusk. I can't believe Vince McMahon's retired, watching the final day of the Tour de France at the Champs-Élysées. I can't believe Vince McMahon retired. It punctuated the whole trip. When I watched Ric Flair's final match back came, I showed my partner the bit where he faked a heart attack and she went, oh, is that Vince McMahon retired then? No, that's Ric Flair. She's no a wrestling fan. Also like to put her wrestling daft. Love the show. Listen since day dot. Buzzing for the live events. Always makes me have a few laughing fits. Keep up a good work. Good one, Jimbo. I love the big long ones for Jimbo, big stream of consciousness ones. Barry says, put all this photo shoot for the Stevenson Dream here. No way has he ever promoted a crew manager. So there's a picture here of Grado. And is this a fire station thing?
This must be from back, like some sort of fire station pamphlet. Someone sent, Barry sent it as in. And it's basically, it's a picture of Grado leaning over someone with a headset, obviously doing a pretend pose, like pointing at a screen.
Well, Grado was doing a pretend serious point at a screen, right? Uh-huh. Like he's just spotted him versus Abyss at Monster's Ball or something, right? And there's these two fucking poor women trying to force a smile sitting beside him. Two women that have obviously worked with Grado for about fucking 10 years and they're near the noose, John. They're approaching the noose. That woman at the front is wondering where she's going to get fucking 200 sleeping pills for. And the woman at the back is wondering how she can sneak herself onto the fucking Stevenson train station rail track.
And it's all about respect. We value respect.
Oh, sorry. It's about respect.
We need to get Grado's take on this next week because I have not come across this photo and I'm hoping that he's not seen this before as well. I'm sure he has, but I don't know where Barry's dug this one up from, but it's an absolute belter.
Finally, a wee bit of Macho Man content here as Sarah Green interviewed Randy Savage on Going Live.
Yeah, well, we've had Macho Man content the last couple of weeks, so we're keeping it going, and this is an absolute belter.
Randy Savage making his presence felt this morning on Going Live. It's good to have you here. Can I just introduce you to Gordon?
Yeah, sure. Where is he?
He's right behind you here.
Hey!
There. Yeah, no, wow. don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous, but no. What's he all about here?
He's a gopher. He lives down the road at Shepherd's Hedge. Uh-huh. He's a great wrestling fan.
Wait a minute.
Sorry?
Where's my wallet? Gordon took my wallet. Check him.
Gordon, I don't think Gordon would do something
like
that.
So?
And I wouldn't challenge him because he's nasty when he gets riled, you know.
If he moves into a big condo or something like that, check it out and let me know, yeah.
We will.
Arrest him, yeah. Uh-huh.
Gordon, moving to a new borough soon, are you? Oh, dear.
Oh, is that right?
You could be right.
Discussions like that, huh? We'll,
yeah, yeah.
The closer you get, the less you see, Gordon. I don't think he likes me.
No, it's he actually finished off Hacksaw Jim Duggan a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Since then, he's been very confident about his wrestling ability.
Hold on a minute. Oh, stop a fucking minute. He finished off Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's a good
fuck does that mean?
I don't know. Gordon the Gopher finished off Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You heard it here first, for fuck's sake.
What a worker.
I mean, I knew these wrestlers were fucking mad perverts back in the day, but getting a fucking wank off Gordon the Gopher. That takes a biscuit, doesn't it?
What a worker Savage is, though, eh?
Oh, man, he's a pro, and he's fucking great.
There's 9 minutes of this, and it's just beautiful. I won't play the full 9 minutes, but if you want to check it out, 1992, Macho Man Randy Savage on Going Live, classic children's TV, absolutely beautiful.
If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Our email is at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week, we like to separate the Johnny Wrestlings for the Johnny Balls as we bury and put over stuff for the world of wrestling.
Johnny Balls are bad. Johnny
no,
bad.
It doesn't. I mean, come on. Johnny and Balls fucking right. Johnny Wrestling as well. I mean, keep peace.
Do you not like Johnny? Do you not like Johnny Gargano? No, I know. He's not your type of wrestler.
See that fucking era NXT, mate? With fucking Gargano and fucking Cole and all that. That wasn't for me, mate.
No.
That was not for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Much indie darling scene.
So what you want to bury and what you want to put up, John, what are you feeling this week?
Well, I've just seen it and I've just read this on Twitter. I was like, oh, Colt Cabana's trending. Now apparently I was like, oh, why is Colt trending? But it was said on AEW last night, someone, CM Punk was cutting a promo saying, I got 16 screws in my foot, and some guy started chanting Colt Cabana, and CM Punk responded him saying, which by the way is 16 more times than this fat guy has gotten screwed in his entire life. I want to bury that. I don't think he should be reacting. I think it's a bad look on Punk.
You don't think that's acceptable?
We like Colt here. You know, I know Grado's pals with obviously Colt and Punk, so it'd be interesting to get his take on the whole situation. But nah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I want to put over Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard in 1985 again. And the reason why I want to put that out is because last Friday, was it? I was like, I want to watch some fucking good wrestling that I love. And I put on Starrcade 85. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Starrcade 85, by the way, right? And I stuck on Starrcade 85, The Gathering. And I watched that Magnum TA, Tully Blanchard, fucking I Quit Steel Cage match, man. And see as years go by, I love that match, but every time I watch it, I love it even more. I think it's just unbelievable stuff. So I want to put that over, and I want to also, anybody out there who has never seen it, and there will still be some of you that haven't watched it, get your network on, get Starrcade 85 on, watch Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard. You won't believe how good this match is. And also, I want to put out EC3. EC3 was wrestling. He was wrestling Bram.
Oh, was
and
he?
And his belly looked absolutely fucking mental. His belly was sticking out like a wee mad, wee pot belly. I don't know what was going on. But there was a picture I saw him, and I don't know if it's like fucking, I don't know what it is, but it just looked banana. So I want to, bananas, I want to put that out as well. I quite like the fact that EC3 looks like an old school, steroided up muscle guy for back in the day. You know the kind of guy back in the day where you go, he'll be dead in 2 years?
Aye.
Looks like that. And you know what I mean? Somebody has to look like that out there, I feel like. So fucking fair play.
Was this on a like an indie show, Rab, or was this on like the Control Your Narrative thing?
I think it was on, it was just a picture, so I think it was in a recent, I'm not sure where it was, John, if I'm being honest, yeah, but it's worth looking for the picture.
Right, I'll look out for that.
Bram was looking fantastic, as he always does. What a, you know, what a body he's got. EC3 just looked fucking mental, standing beside him. Fair play to him. Fair play to you, kid. I want to put over Seth Rollins for wearing McLeay's.
What was he wearing?
When the Scots was finished filming, there was a rap party, and I was wearing a smoking jacket at the rap party. And about a month to 6 weeks later, Seth Rollins turns up on Raw with Matt Exact, the exact mate,
really?
Not the same style, the exact smoking jacket on. So I want to put over Seth Rollins for.
That promo, that between Riddle and there.
It was in that bit.
Was it that?
It was that very one.
I put it up on my socials, mate.
If you opened up my Instagram or opened up my Twitter and had a look, I'll put the photographic evidence up. It is the exact same smoking jacket we're wearing.
But incredible. I loved that. It seems the PG era seems to be falling away. I mean, after seeing stuff like that, and loved the fact that, you know, when they were filming it, it was like almost on a phone. Did you see that? And it was like,
yep,
in the car park, bro. I love all that stuff. More of that, please. Do you think the balance is shifting? And I know this will split the audience because we've got a very loyal AEW audience that listen to us. But WWE's getting its shit together, isn't it?
I think it's too soon, though. I mean, it's like, obviously we're all very excited about this wee period in WWE just now. But we have had very many false dawns in WWE.
Oh, that's true.
Of late. So let's see how it is 6 months down the line. My feeling is, let's see how this program through Royal Rumble up to WrestleMania goes, and then we can start getting excited. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the thing. So let's see what the punters are saying. Stevie wants to put all WWE, just getting better and better with Triple H being back, nothing to bury. Gladanoid wants to put all the Dexter Lumis stuff on Raw. Love the wee subtle background things. Scott wants to bury it. I like the Miz during his match pointing up into the crowd. And then you saw Lumis up there. That was a sweet wee moment.
I love all this Lumis stuff. I love how it's all been in the kind of background and everything like that. Uh-huh. And just, you don't know what's going on. I love all that intrigue. And it's like, yeah, love that.
Scott wants to bury the folk calling the death triangle Will Ospreay work a gymnastics routine. And wants to put over Ricky Starks. We all love Ricky Stark. Scott wants to put out Kevin Nash's tweet about Ospreay's merch sales.
Did you see this?
I saw that somebody put out a ridiculous tweet about the amount of 5-star matches Will Ospreay's had compared to fucking Cena and all that. Like, you know, it's just fucking embarrassing.
And then Kevin Nash comes in with, how's his merchandise sales? And what Ospreay replied, did you tear your quads while writing this tweet? Oh, fire! Heat, come on! Book it, Nash versus Ospreay. Nash would fucking kill him.
Oh my God.
One punch.
I mean, what do you even say to that? You know what I mean? I mean, Will Ospreay, you know, it's like I enjoy watching a Will Ospreay match as much as anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I enjoy watching him doing his thing. And obviously, in terms of his athleticism and physically, it's incredible the stuff he can do in the ring, I think, right? Yeah. It's incredible, and you would need to be fucking off your head to say that that's no entertaining to watch, right? But for me, like, you know, he's like second match on the card or something. You know what I mean? He's like, that's right, no. Right. When we're getting into the nitty gritty of pay per view, when we're getting up to the fucking stars and the main eventers, I'm no wanting to watch Will Ospreay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
I just don't think he has that. But you know, the way I've always felt about Will Ospreay is. First hour of Nitro, all day, every day. You know what I mean?
Aye. Do you think?
First hour of Nitro back in the day when it was the fucking Cruisers and that.
Yeah, all that entertaining stuff.
He'd have been brilliant in that mix.
Here's a question for you, and this is probably a bigger question for another day, but do you think there'll be a point, and the only one I can really think of off the top of my head is where a high flyer would be a main event, or Rey Mysterio is the only one I could think of. Could you put Shawn Michaels in that bracket? But I don't know.
I mean, Seth Rollins is close, right? I mean, Seth Rollins, certainly when he was in the Shield, a lot of his work was as that kind of dynamic high-flying, you know, the mere high-flying one. Not quite. He's a wee bit of a hybrid, and certainly his work is a bit more grounded now. But if you sent Seth Rollins out to have one of the kind of high-flying matches, he could do it in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah, but there's never really been that kind of main event high-flyer. Rey Mysterio aside, I think. It's the only one I can really do that, get a definitive high flying kind of guy as a main eventer. And if you want to include Shawn Michaels in the mix, aye. But do you think that's just because...
Would you not say RVD was a high flyer?
He wasn't main event, though, was he?
But he was main event in his promotion.
Upper mid, but...
He was main event in his own promotion. You know what I mean? He was a main event in ECW.
That's true.
And then just the day, you know, like you saw the SmackDown clip circulating at the end of the SmackDown during the kind of... the Alliance fucking invasion era and stuff, yeah. And RVD was right in the mix with all the aim with Taker and Stone Cold. Not he had that wee period where he was pushing into the main event. I know what you're saying though, but yeah, I know what you're saying. It's a funny one,
think,
that, isn't it?
I think it's just like...
is a high flyer? What is a high flyer, John?
I mean, high flyer, you'd say someone like Ricochet, Will Ospreay, as you say, kind of, you know, obviously LeRae Phoenix, a lot of the Luchas workers are kind of high flyer. Huh, Sami Zayn? Is Sami Zayn a high flyer? I don't know.
I wouldn't say so.
No. But it's interesting. Do you think it's because we've been brought up in an era of like big guys, you know, your Hulk Hogan's?
But see, I'm a high flyer. Do you mean just like a fast moving?
Predominantly
like high risk top rope maneuver type stuff.
Yeah, fast paced, no power moves really, just like lots of drop kicking, lots of fast, you know, head scissors, all that kind of jam, you know. But could you put that?
Because obviously there's been many, many people in the main event who have high flying elements about them. Macho Man for one.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
You know, a guy who has, you know, that elbow as his finisher.
A beautiful thing, wasn't it?
Jeff Hardy has floated around main events and promotions.
Yes, yeah, there you go. There's another name for it. There's an R name for it.
I'm trying to think. It feels as if we're missing somebody significant.
The Wayne, but it's the Wayne's go for. I mean, that when you first were brought up, right?
Eddie Guerrero, I would like to say.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero
could work as a high flyer, yeah, even though again he was near. You know, he showed a lot of his brawling stuff and Mary's kind of grounded technical stuff in WWE, but he was still, you know,
Jericho.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. There's a lot of guys that have had that side to them. There's ones that you would never call high flyers. You know what I mean? Guys like Stone Cold and Triple H and The Rock and all of that. You would never call any of them high flyers. But there's an argument to be made for some. It's like, where do you draw the line? Where do you say somebody isn't a high flyer? You know,
I tell you what, get that discussion going on Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Get that discussion. We'll talk about that next week.
Look at a guy like Kenta Kobashi, right, in Japan, who's like this big, fucking strong style brawler wrestler and all that. But he was also doing fucking moonsaults and all that, do you know what I mean? He was also doing big fucking dives and moonsaults and all sorts of stuff. So it's like, you know, what does it mean? Does it mean a wee guy? Are we talking about a wee guy, not a heavyweight? Are we, you know, there's one. That's a good discussion point for next week. Yeah. And the good thing is our own personal high flyer, Gredo, will be back at that point to weigh in. Dylan is happy that the Dark Order are finally getting a major win and Mox with an upset win over Punk. I have no berries this week.
What did you make of the Mox-Punk thing?
I liked it. I mean, it's not the end of the story. And I'm a big fan of, you know, you can't have this thing where it's like two guys go into the ring and it goes 20 minutes and they kick out each other's finishers and all that. Well, you can't do that. You can't tell that story all the time. That's a story that gets told too often now. So I liked that it was something different. I'm still interested to see where it goes.
I don't know why they didn't put it as the main event, though. I fail to comprehend why they didn't put that in as the main event. I mean, obviously the Death Triangle, well, Ospreay, United match was brilliant, but why would you not put that in? You know, the title was on the line, put it second on the card.
The only reason I could think was to make sure that you didn't guess what was going to happen if they put it in with 5 minutes left.
That's true.
You know, but, you know, not necessarily. Stevie wants to put a Riddle and Rollins brilliant work shoot video exchange, reminding me of the Daniel Cormier and John Jones beef in UFC for back in the day, and wants to bury Thunder Rosa relinquishing the AEW women's title due to alleged backstage drama with Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Just when AEW had the division sorted, it's back to being a mess. I really hope Tony Khan gets a grip in that locker room because it's unruly as fuck right now.
There's a lot going on backstage at AEW, it appears, from what you're writing on the dirt sheets and all the kind of stuff with Punk, and there's a lot going on backstage. Do you think it's ever since Cody left? Because it seems to have all kind of kicked off from when after Cody left.
I'm pretty sure I remember saying at the time that it's going to be a blow for AEW Cody leaving.
Yeah, having that locker room leader and kind of holding it together.
Mick wants to put over Sami Zayn and his work lately. That angle is spectacular. He's like the wee guy with a supply that you keep around just to get high. Also, sneaking suspicion that he may have a say in the Clash at the Castle Championship result. Sami is a star and deserves to shine. It's true. Sami Zayn is brilliant, man.
He's so good.
He's fucking. He's brilliant. He's been brilliant for so long as well.
I think I'd love to see. You know, Kevin Owens seems to be coming into it now as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'd love to. I think there's going to be a point where what they'll do is Sami and Owen. There'll be some sort of. You know, Sammy will get kicked out of the Bloodline, there'll be a battle, he'll cause them a match, and he'll get battered down. Kevin Owens will come in to save. They'll form a tag team, they'll take the titles off the Usos, and then obviously they'll turn on each other and we'll have another fantastic Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn match.
Yep. I mean, I'm happy to watch all of that. I'm happy to watch all of that. Bronchello wants to put all the wrestling's great. Buzzing for this weekend. It's my birthday on Friday. Meeting Undertaker, seeing his stand-up comedy show. Clash at the Castle on Saturday. ICW at midnight. Bury the interim champion. Just have them be number one contender when they come back. Mick wants to bury Vince's elbow. No sure why, but bury this thing deep away in the depths of the earth so it doesn't haunt anybody else. And there's a picture here. When is this picture from?
Is this from the nightclub? We were talking about this last week when Vince was at... partying with Cena and was pictured coming out of a nightclub with a woman, and I think this is the picture. And it's weird, isn't it?
His elbow looks absolutely mental, isn't it?
It's really strange. I just love the fact that Vince is out partying with John Cena now for his birthday.
Fucking fair play to him, man.
Absolutely. Undertaker stand up, what's that going to be like?
Terrible.
Do you think he does like observational stuff?
It's not actually stand-up, is it? Is it not just his fucking Q&A thing?
No, I think, I don't know, but I'd love to think The Undertaker, you know, my wife, she's a big fan, you know, and coming out observational. Maybe it's like surreal stuff like Ross Noble that he does.
Imagine. Get him on fucking Have I Get News For You. Right.
Undertaker hosting Have I Got News For You. Oh, well, it's an interesting story. What do you think of this, Paul?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just made the list!
Right, listen, mate. What's a list of Wrestling Daft this week?
The list of Wrestling Daft is one that we should not manage to get around to for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because we keep putting it off because it's either we had tight shows or it's just been one ease. This week it is the best moments of Ric Flair, which won with 75% when we asked this question weeks ago to our patrons. We were put up against underrated wrestlers, and it was the best moments of Ric Flair that won.
Well, the best moments of Ric Flair. Well, number one, I know I always date in a man.
You always do that. Because
it's so obvious, John.
But you go 3-2-1, that's how a chart works. So you build up to the crescendo.
Well, number three for me is when I met him and he refused to shake my hand.
Well, that's brilliant.
Was brilliant. You know, me saying, oh, Rick, I've been just a huge fan all my life and I would love to shake your hand. Thank you so much for everything you've done and all that. And he fucking was like, to you two guys, get him the fuck out of here.
Fucking love that.
Fucking love it, right? Great stuff. Number two, I think it's going to be his retirement match, I think, against Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer storytelling and Shawn's performance in that. Just love it, man. I'm Sorry I Love You is just one of the bits you would show to people that are on the anti-wrestling to kind of try and explain how many layers and how many different dimensions and how much colour and shade a wrestling match can have, that it's not just, you know, somebody trying to pin another guy and win a match. And number one is Royal Rumble. Right, so here we go. Let's see what the punters are saying. Andy says Rumble 92 is the go-to answer, I think, there. Liked his run with Macho Man, where the Flair got fake revenge porn pictures of Liz, all that stuff. You wouldn't do that story nowadays, would you? Big Mash says, when he's bumming all the birds in a limo and he collapses, we'd bum out. Right, there we go. Daniel says, Ric Flair has to be the Rumble win in 92. First time I ever saw him, my mate and I were in hysterics at the front face bump. Of course, that led into the match with Macho Man at Mania with the doctored photos of Elizabeth. Big gold belt in WWE, Mr. Perfect and Heenan in support. Great stuff. Oh, what a great time that was, man.
Oh, that was, yeah.
That was some of my absolute favourite wrestling personalities of all time altogether. I couldn't believe it, by the way. See it as a Mr. Perfect fan. I couldn't believe it when Ric Flair came in and then was hanging about with Mr. Perfect in it. It was the fucking best. Just, it was booked for me, all that stuff, you know what I mean?
Just the iconic 92 when he comes out Perfect and Heenan are in the background, he's giving it the big woo. I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful image.
They're laughing and all that. Just like, just three absolute fucking legends, man. Yeah. Classy Choclos says, Flair interrupting the live sex celebration all while creating the best wrestling gif in the process. You know what that one is. Nikki says, WrestleMania 8, his match against Savage was epic. The promo after the match with blood soaking his blonde hair standing next to Mr. Perfect is iconic. It really is. Fraser says, winning the Intercontinental title in 2005. Could see how much it meant to him, and the matches around it with Triple H's turn against him were pretty good. Johnny says, it's got to be winning the Rumble. One of the best promos of all time. Paul says, him versus Mr. Perfect. Loser leaves WWF match on Raw 93, one of my favourite matches.
Oh, wow.
Karate Warrior 2 says, tie between Flair's original Nitro heart attack and the Jay Lethal TNA woo-off. And Andy says, my favourite moment hasn't come yet. It's when he's arrested and cancelled for the shit he did on that plane. Wow. Things got darker. Yeah. But I could never understand the hype about him. I understand I didn't see him in his prime, so I can only comment from 1998 onwards, but never really liked him. It's interesting that, isn't it? Because obviously we've got a lot of people here saying Ric Flair moments, and they're all really late. Like, even my list, you know what I mean? It's late stuff, really. Royal Rumble 92 is late, you know what I mean? This is a guy who had already done all his best work, but just again, we haven't seen it, really.
That's true.
Brian says, that time Grado met him in the bogs was the best.
I'm a wrestler, too.
Aye.
By the t-shirt.
I said, there's Flair, you know what I mean? And we've now seen his last match, haven't we?
Well, we have. I mean, surely that's him done now. You see, can't he do anything else now, surely?
Maybe we've seen his last match. What do you think?
Aye, you've definitely seen it. You can't do, he just about died.
Woo!
Right, how are you feeling, John, then, about, let's have a wee chat about the events this weekend coming up. So we get Clash at the Castle coming up. Should we have a wee chat about the card?
Yeah, we put this up on our Twitter as well. Just I put this up saying, you know, what event's going to be better, Clash at the Castle or All Out? I've not seen this. The card may have changed because I put the plan together because I've not seen the results from Dynamite from last week.
So. By the way, what is the script? Wait, I feel like nowadays you fucking don't know what a card is until about fucking 3 days before the show these days.
It seems that way, doesn't it? It
does. There was a time when you knew the card like a month in advance.
Yeah. And it just seems, you're right, they've stopped that. So at Clash at the Castle, we'll start from the bottom and work our way up.
Let's go through it.
Edge and the Mysterios versus Judgment Day, Rhea Ripley. We've got Gunther versus Sheamus. That is one I'm going to look forward to for the Intercontinental Championship. Riddle versus Rollins, Bianca Belair.
Alexa. Wait, well, how you? Wait a minute. So, how are you feeling about these matches? That first right. one, Edge and that.
I'm wanting something to happen there. I want a Dominic Mysterio heel turn on there, or I want Rhea Ripley to set up an angle against Rey Mysterio for a cross gender match.
That's, I hadn't what... thought about that, by the way. Dominic turning and joining them.
Aye,
that would be pretty fucking cool, wouldn't it?
I know. Or do you want Rhea setting up a match against Rey, like an intergender match? Her versus Rey would be fucking great.
They should. I mean, there was a wee moment with Dominic and Rhea Ripley and just recently on fucking one of them, Raw SmackDown. Yeah, it'd be interesting that.
They should do that. What about Gunther versus Sheamus? That's going to be good, isn't it?
It's going to be great because Big Sheamus, I mean, that's going to be a hard-hitting match, but fucking Gunther needs to get the beef back on, man.
Aye. It's
me. Because I just look at the two of them and I just think to myself, Sheamus will fucking flatten this cunt. Like, seriously? I just go, Sheamus will fucking knock fuck out of this guy, this big skinny guy.
I know.
You know what I mean? I just don't know what's who gave him that advice to fucking...
Know.
I hope Triple H is like fucking... Picking up, putting the fucking catering table on wheels and fucking wheeling it into Gunther's fucking dressing room is what he should be doing.
I don't know. But I think Gunther will probably win that. They'll keep him going with that. Though, in saying that, Sheamus has never won the Intercontinental Championship before.
No, I think Sheamus is going to beat him.
Do you think so?
I think Sheamus is going to beat him. I think Sheamus is wrestling in the British Isles. I think that's what we want to see. You know what I mean? I think we're wanting to see Big Sheamus flatten the big. You know what the fucking the English are going to be going to this, right?
Aye.
They're going to be wanting to see Sheamus battle the big German, even though he's not German. That's what they're going to want, right?
True. Matt Riddle versus Rollins. That's got heat on it, hasn't it?
Yes. Randy Orton.
Oh, maybe come back for Randy Orton. It has been a bit quiet in that.
You don't think Seth Rollins is going to beat Riddle, and then Orton's going to turn up, or there's going to be an RKO out of nowhere in this fucking match. It's got to be right.
I think Rollins. They've got to keep Rollins at the top of the card. I think Rollins will win that. By the way, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Oscar versus Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. What have you made of Bayley in her return, Rab?
Great. I think Bayley's great.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever not liked anything Bayley's done, to be honest. You know what I mean? And I think it's really been the kind of wee shot in the arm that it needed. You know, and just the way things are going now, I wouldn't rule out Sasha Banks popping up either.
Naomi and Sasha Banks potentially might pop up. Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler for the women's championship.
I mean, personally, I'd put it on Shayna Baszler.
I think they'll put it on Shayna Baszler and set up her versus Ronda.
Yep.
And finally, we've got Roman Reigns versus our boy Drew for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. I thought they were going to make that three-way with Karrion Kross, but Karrion Kross is going to cost Drew the match here, isn't he?
I think Roman Reigns is winning.
Yeah.
And it could be Karrion Kross that... Listen, I haven't changed my mind. They two are fucking money, Karrion Kross. And, I mean, we know how much you love Scarlett Bordeaux, mate.
Yep.
But they two are money. You know what I mean? I feel like that boy gets a hard time after internet. Karrion Kross.
Aye. I don't understand it.
I think he's a big legit looking dude who's a decent promo and all that. I don't get why so much of the internet is down on him. You know what I mean? I think sometimes when you get a wrestler who has, you know, a woman beside him as a manager or, you know, whatever role she's got, and when she has such star quality, sometimes the guy gets it in the neck a wee bit. It's almost like he's a kind of ball and chain around her neck a wee bit.
Yeah.
A wee bit of a burden to her career or something. But I think the both of them, I think they're a hot ticket, man.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that Vince didn't see it.
Yep. I mean...
It's one of the fucking weirdest things for me that Vince didn't see that. I thought they two would be totally up Vince's street. Don't get it.
The presentation's been great for it. So that's the card so far. There'll be another few matches added.
What do we know about All Out?
Right, All Out, we've got the zero-hour pre-show match. We've got Pac versus Kip Sabian for the All-Atlantic Champion.
Never mind the fucking pre-show.
Ah, right, okay, fuck that. Hook versus Angelo Parker. I like Hook. Right, okay, this is decent. Starting off the card, FTR and Wardlow versus Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns.
I mean, what a great match, man.
Motor City Machine Guns in AEW.
I mean, that's going to be good stuff.
Oh, that's amazing. Ricky Starks, your favourite, versus Powerhouse Hobbs. He's got the rocket to him, hasn't he, Ricky Starks?
Yeah, Starks will deal with that. Yep.
Right, we've got House of Black versus Miro, Sting and Darby Allin.
I mean, this is a fucking good card, isn't it?
It's all right, eh?
I watch all the guys any fucking day of the week, you know what I mean? Darby Allin got a new tattoo in his back, so I think he's going to win.
Right.
He'll be in the winning side.
I like House of Black as well. Alistair Black's just really, really good.
They're good, man.
Right, casino ladder match for future AEW World title shot. You've got Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, Penta El Zero, Rey Fénix, Rush, Andrade, Dante Martin, and a Joker TBC. Who do you think the Joker's going to be? Which ex-WWE employee do you think they'll bring in?
Who is the Joker going to be?
Braun Strowman?
No, because did you not see the news today? The rumor going about is that Braun has re-signed with WWE.
Really?
That's right. The rumor going about, according to the internet. Let me just check. I'm pretty sure I saw that earlier, but let me just see if
it's not going to be the Fiend. There's rumors about him returning to WWE as well, isn't it?
Let's see if it's been debunked yet. Braun. Let's see, Braun Strowman. You know, there's places saying. That's the talk. The talk is that Braun is going to be back on Monday.
Why not?
At WWE.
Why not?
It could be the Raw after Clash at the Castle that he pops up on.
Who's out injured in AEW who can make a comeback as the Joker? I'm just trying to think who's on the shelf at the moment there.
There might be a comeback
from injury, or it might be...
And there's not really been any hint at who it might be either in there, though. They kind of don't do that.
It'll probably be Leo Rush again, coming out of retirement for the 100th time.
Oh, God. I mean, obviously, there's some people thinking, could it be MJF? There's no way they would bring him in that spot. I don't think.
Nah, not that spot, no. No, don't say that. A future AEW World title shot, and he cashes it in. But, yeah, you're right. It might be MJF.
I just don't know. I don't know if it's... as high profile, you know, I mean, I just don't know if it's right. Could be though.
Yeah,
could be Samoa Joe.
True.
Could be
Samoa Joe's.
What's Jeff Hardy up to?
Ah, well, there you go. Well, there's a shout. Tony Storm versus Dr. Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter versus Shida for the Women's Championship. I think Tony Storm's probably winning that.
Maybe, but I would like to see Jamie Hayter having a run. I like Jamie Hayter,
aye, she's quite good. And then we've got the Trios Champ. There's too many fucking belts in AEW, isn't it? The Trios Championship Tournament Final has got the Elite, which is Young Bucks and Kenny, versus the winner of the Dark Order versus Best Friends. So that's happening in Rampage. So I'm guessing the Best Friends will win, and it'll be the Elite versus the Best Friends. So, and I would suspect the Elite will win that.
Perhaps.
Oh, are you thinking the Best Friends might take the Trios Championship? But it might be the Dark Order.
It might be the Dark Order.
Because I've opened and seen that Hangman's in the Dark Order team. So it's John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and the Hangman. And then they'll set up so it's so the Dark Order will win, so they've got the Hangman Kenny thing going on.
Yeah,
and then I don't know who'll win that. Fucking, it's a big card, this. Jade Cargill versus Athena for the AEW TBS Championship.
Has every match got a fucking title in it? It
seems to be that way. Even the pre-card's got titles in it. So Jade Cargill, Athena. I'll like Jade Cargill.
Cargill, right?
Got a great look around her. Athena's good as well, but nah, Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy versus Christian, grudge match.
I'm looking forward to this match, by the way.
Christian's banter over the last week while he's been off the scale.
I'm looking forward to this.
Thanks, everyone's dead dad.
I think Jungle Boy stepped up as well, and Jungle Boy's going to win that.
Yeah, Swerving or Glory for the Tag Team Championship this time versus the Acclaimed. So that's Keith Lee and Swerve versus the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed might win this, by the way. They are over at the moment.
Maybe they are over.
They are over at the moment, and Max Caster's stuff is great. We're talking about that last week. Max Caster is a done gimmick, but Jesus, I love his rap. It's just brutal.
He's good at it.
Jericho versus Bryan Danielson. Come on, give me that on a big spoon.
Jericho versus Bryan Danielson, man.
I can't remember when they fought in WWE, you know.
They did, didn't they?
Matches in WWE, but I can't remember. They must have done a program together. There's no way they would have kept them separate in WWE.
Well, I think Danielson's going to win it.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think it will be a good match. I think Jericho is actually, he's really stepped up this year as well. Like, he's had some nice matches this year.
Yeah. And finally, we have got Jon Moxley versus CM Punk at the top of the card as announced. They've taken a while to announce the main event for the card with all this, what's been going on. How can they, though, right? How can they? There's going to be something that has to happen. From a week ago, CM Punk knackering his foot and now is in the main event fighting for the title. How can they get around that? That's the booking. I don't get the booking in this. And I can't understand how.
Because I think they're going to do a version of the fucking the Cody thing, where it's like he's injured, but he's still going to go out there and fucking,
like the Karate Kid, like the end of the Karate Kid, where he's limping about in one foot.
I think maybe
the crane.
You know what I would love to see? I would love Moxley to just do it again.
What he did.
Beat him in like fucking 5 minutes again.
That'd be brilliant. That would be brilliant.
Because I think it wouldn't hurt anybody, that, you know what I mean? It would make Moxley look like an absolute killer, right? And Mox looking like a killer helps everything they know. It helps the fucking promotion. It helps fucking the BCC. It helps, you know, it just helps the whole fucking scene if he looks like an absolute stone cold killer. And Moxley at the minute is, you know, arguably, he's one of the best fucking wrestlers on the planet now. You know what I mean? He's having a great year. Since he actually came back, he went after his wee spell to do his rehab and stuff like that. He's been amazing since he's came back.
Yeah, no, I think you keep it on Mox.
Put the faith into him.
Yeah.
Let him fucking squash CM Punk again. And then you can still continue the story and do something, because CM Punk can come back, you know, in a fucking 6 weeks' time or whatever, and be like, you know, you embarrassed me on that big stage, and you know what I mean? And then you've got more story to tell.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, God almighty, that's going to be a long show, isn't it? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's going to be a long show. But, you know, I mean, I'm ready for it, actually. I'm up for it this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be watching. I'll try and watch. I'm down in the street.
So what time is Clash in the Castle?
It's obviously it's UK time, so it's going to be, I think it's like a 7 o'clock kickoff
on Saturday.
So that's nice, isn't it? You can sit down and watch it with your
team. Get a wee curry in, man. Sit and watch fucking wrestling dynamite, mate.
So that'll be good, and then obviously AEW's on Sunday, and they're going to put up the World's Collide event against AEW All Out. So,
and obviously the big match of the weekend, though, Grado versus the man himself, Kez Evans.
I know. No. We were a bit cruel to poor Kez last week. We kind of broke down. He kind of retorted to Grado forgetting about his name on this podcast, and he cut a promo, and we broke down Kez's promo last week, and I'm surprised I've not had a doing from him.
Let me say this. This is what it's fucking all about, isn't it? This is what the game is all about. Now, Grado says he forgets Kez Evans' name. We don't know if he's being fucking serious when he says that or not, right? But you've got a guy like Kez Evans. He's got that ICW belt on his waist, right? That's a heavy fucking belt to carry. A lot of fucking great people have carried that belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to carry that belt, you need to have strong fucking shoulders to carry that belt. You know what I mean? You need to have a stiff upper lip, and you need to be setting out to make sure that fucking nobody forgets your name. Setting out to make sure that your name is on the tip of everybody's tongue. Now that boy, he's just on the start of that fucking journey, really. You know what I mean? Obviously, he's been running right over the top of people in ICW, right? He's been running right over the top of them. But he's still embarked on that journey in terms of the mainstream, in terms of the wider audience. His responsibility now as the ICW champion is to get out there, is to make the fucking noise that some of these great champions have made in the past in ICW, where people who don't even watch your wrestling know the name Kez Evans. If you were to say to somebody in the street, Kez Evans, and they'd go, is that the guy who's got the big strap at ICW? That's what he's got to be aiming for. So people, you know, he kind of get fucking annoyed at Grado making a show of forgetting his name. He's got to fucking blow that off and scream his own name for the rooftops. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Exactly, exactly.
And I'll tell you something else, the journey never fucking stops, because there's plenty of people in this world that haven't heard of Grado. There's plenty of people in this world that haven't heard of Johnny Gargano. There's plenty of people in this world that haven't heard of Adam Cole, lucky bastards. There's plenty of people in this world who haven't heard of a lot of these people. The journey is a fucking ongoing journey, and that is the responsibility of wearing that big belt. The responsibility of wearing that big ICW belt is now you have to make some noise. Now, before Kez Evans can make any of that noise, John, he's got to get past
the Stevenson dream. Do you think Grado's going to win? Imagine if he's on this podcast next week and he's got the big gold over his shoulder.
Do you think Grado is going to win?
He says he's not going down to all the way to Cardiff for a laugh here. He's been in serious... Well, I was going to say he's been in serious training. He's not been in serious training. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
Well, I'm going to put this out there, right?
Right.
Grado is one of my best mates, right? But I would say this to this Kez Evans guy. Grado is a pro wrestler. He is also a breakfast radio host. He's also working, filming a sitcom, recording podcasts. He's working all week. He's fucking working dawn to dusk. He's also training in the middle of all that as well. But that man is going to be tired, John.
Yes, he is.
And I would say to Kez Evans, never mind cutting fucking promos about people forgetting your name. If you cannot get past a guy who works about six jobs a fucking week, if this isn't your opportunity to run our Grado, who's ever going to remember your name? That's what I'm going to say, John. That's what I'm going to say.
It's going to be Moxie versus Punk here, isn't it? Grado's going to go down in 5 minutes. But I tell you what, a midnight
listen,
show...
by the way, Grado, listen. See, Grado, I've never seen Grado as fired up as this. I've never seen Grado as fired up. And all kidding aside, I know we do a lot of kidology on this podcast, and we do a bit of trash talk, and we get a bit fucking, you know, we ramp ourselves up, and sometimes we have a wee Jack and Coke before we do the show and stuff, and it gets us into trouble, and we get people saying they're going to sue us and all that, right? But let's not go into that, John, right? But I've never seen Grado as fired up for a match as this. I feel like Grado was maybe, I would say 6 months ago, he wasn't really sure about his future in wrestling. He was feeling he had some doubts and stuff.
Yes.
He went back, and I think he's been lit back on fire by that ICW crowd when he went back out in front of them again. And I've never seen him as fired up as he is going down to Cardiff to have this match. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out. I don't think, and if Kez Evans does beat him, then, you know, Everybody's going to know Kez Evans' name.
Well, I'm sure they'll all be chanting Grado's name. Midnight show after Clash at the Castle. If you can make it along and you're heading down, listen to the podcast on your way down to Cardiff, make sure you make the ICW show. What's occurring? It's going to be class. And
here, John, imagine doing a fucking wrestling match after midnight, by the way. Can you imagine that?
How's Grado going to stay up? He's been on breakfast. He's going to be knackered.
Mate, I'll tell you something. There's only one kind of wrestling I'm interested in after midnight. You know what I mean? Only one type of graps I'm interested in the midnight hour, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, good luck, Grado.
It's no way Grado.
He's on this podcast wearing the big gold next week.
Right, John, it's been a pleasure. Let's wrap this one up. Let's give listener of the week to your man again, the steam train, will we?
The steam train getting again, Davey Butler for a second.
Let's do it again so he can tell his brother he's a listener of the week again.
There you go, beautiful.
John, it's been a pleasure. I hope you enjoy the shows at the weekend. The team will be back next week. Up the road now to you, John. Up the road to yourself.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-pack battery kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.